CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you joined us. Looking forward to being with you as we always are. And we just want to encourage you to give us a call. That number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon, answering questions about the Bible, looking at global events through a biblical viewpoint, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? So if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, well, today's your day. Call us. Got some lines open. 888-ASK-CSN is the number to call, and you can be part of the program today. Joining me today, special guest and dear friend, we have with us Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Fellowship, just south of Hilo, Hawaii, in Kiau, Hawaii, on Highway 130. Hi, and welcome, Joe.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Great to be on the radio with you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I always look forward to this time of just being on the radio and looking at God's Word, looking at different questions. And even for me, you know, during this time, I'm learning and observing as we kind of study God's word together on air where others can hear. And so it's always a blessing to be here with you, Pastor Mike.
Always a blessing to be with you as well. And had a lot of fun last Sunday night.
We did. We did. Yeah. We did our off the record class, me and Pastor Mike did. And we talked a little bit about things we're seeing in our world today. And then at the end there, we had time to go through quite a bit of questions. And so we'll be in part two this Sunday at Sure Foundation at 6 o'clock this evening. We had some people fill out questions that they had on their heart, and we'll be tackling some of those this coming Sunday.
Yeah. And it was a blast. We had just a great time and looking, are UFOs in the Bible? All these different things. Well, we pretty much know for sure that if you're seeing something, it's either military, either U.S. or some foreign country, it's either a demon or an angel, because anything else is just too far away. So great time, and so looking forward to doing it again. If you're in the Hilo area on the Big Island of Hawaii, we'd love to see you this Sunday night. Again, at Sure Foundation, just come about 10 miles south of Hilo. Take the road to Pahoa on Highway 130, and between Kaholi and Paradise is where we're located. Love to see you there, 6:30, and we're going to have a great time. Bring your Bible; you're going to get a chance to use it, and so we look forward to that. To the phones we go. We have Donald on the line in Texas. Hi, welcome.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Good.
How may we help?
Hello.
Yes, we're here.
I got a question. Okay, in the book of Acts, I forgot what chapter, you know, when people had bound Paul down, and they were telling him not to go to Jerusalem, and were Paul disobedient to the Spirit? You know, are you familiar with this scripture, right? You know, they were like, I think in the book of 18, something like that.
Yeah.
So when he disobedient to the Spirit, and when God wanted him not to go to Jerusalem, but I forgot that other city where God wanted him to go. So would he be disobedient to the Spirit or what? That's the question I want to ask.
You know, there's a lot of discussion on this particular topic because God was warning him not to go in many, many places. He went anyway. Now, here's what I really love. God used it. And God will continue to use all of us. And do we always make the right decisions, even as a Christian, even being led by God? Not always. Now, there are discussions whether, as Agabus held up his girdle, so is the man who owns this when he goes to Jerusalem will be bound. He was warned many times, but he went anyway. Now, it is noteworthy that God called Paul to the Gentiles.
Yes.
By going to Jerusalem, he was trying to go back to the Jews again. Now, I think there's a blessing in sharing the gospel with everyone, but Paul even himself recognized his ministry was to the Gentiles. Now, again, when we look at Peter and the disciples, their ministry was to the Jews. So I really believe that it very possibly could be, and we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to know for sure, was that God's very best for Paul to go to Jerusalem after being warned of the things that were there. And it's interesting that Paul did not take the warnings as warnings, but, you know, he took them kind of as a challenge almost. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, so, you know, this is an interesting piece of scripture where God is giving those around Paul knowledge about suffering that will happen if he does go to Rome. And so there's two ways to look at it. One is it could be disobedience because God was saying not to go. The other perspective and angle to look at it is that God was letting Paul know what was going to happen to him and just prepping him for this. And of course, we know that because he went to Rome, ministry still came out of it. He was still able, you know, Paul's dream was always to go to Rome, to minister to Rome. And he's actually placed in prison in Rome. He would be chained to a Roman guard. And so now it's like the Apostle Paul has literally a captivated audience that he gets to preach to. And they would switch to Roman guard every so many hours. And so there he is speaking in Rome. But it is interesting that God is warning. And so there's just two ways to look at it. One is disobedience, or number two, that God was actually preparing Paul for what was to come. And with that, I'll throw it back to you, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, no. And so I think we just have to completely wait. For many, many years, I just simply believed, oh, Paul was just told that what was going to happen when he went there and everything. But as I went through the book of Acts, I began to see it maybe in a little bit different light, that perhaps God was warning him not to go. And if you disagree with me on this, that's fine. I don't have a real stand either way. This is one of those things when we get to heaven, we're going to get to really know a lot of things that we don't know now. But it would appear that with that kind of warning that God gave him, that he went anyway and the trouble that ensued. So hope that helps, Donald.
All right. That was good. Thank you. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen. Thank y'all.
Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. With that, we'll go to Philip in Louisiana. Hi and welcome.
Hey, brother. My question is, can you give me a definition or just a difference of Hebrew, Jew, and Israelite?
I believe they're all the same. Yeah. just different names there. Of course, you could convert to Judaism and be called a Jew by renouncing your pagan deity, by embracing Yahweh as your God, and taking a ceremonial washing. That's how you would convert to Judaism, and thereby you would be considered a Jew. Of course, an Israelite was somebody that was from the tribes of Israel and living there in the land of Israel as well. And the Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, totally agree that the three are the same, Jew, Israelite, or Hebrew. And then even important to make that distinction, there is a religion of Judaism, but that's not the same as being a Jewish person. And of course, we know that the Israelites, the Jewish people, are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from them came 12 tribes. And the tribes of Israel were Reuben, Simon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, and a few others, Joseph and his actually sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Benjamin. These are some of the tribes of Judah, which are also all Israelites. And so I believe the three are the same thing.
Which is a little bit different, because like I say, a person could convert to Judaism and be considered a Jew by following after Yahweh. So, Philip, hope that helps.
That was awesome. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out some books, DVDs I think you'll enjoy. Let's go to Edward, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Edward.
Yeah.
How may we help?
Good afternoon. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for your program. Truly, it blesses a lot. It's the best program that you'll listen, you know, in this evening. And So I have a kind of like a clarification about God's sovereignty versus man's free will. Can you describe how are they related? Is it independent of each other, or are they interconnected? Like in particular, for example, can God's sovereignty overrule man's free will? So that's my question there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of the problem here is that we see things through our perspective rather than through God's. And you have to realize that God knows all things. God does not learn. Revelation chapter 1 and also 22, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. He lives in all times present. So God does not learn. God already knows the decisions that we're going to make. Now, can God arrange certain situations so that we'll choose the direction he wants us to go? Yes, I believe that. And I believe a large percentage of that is prayer in aligning our will with God's. But when we look in the Bible and it says, Jacob, I've loved, Esau, I've hated. Oh, how could God? Well, God already knew the decisions that Esau would make in his life to be able to say that. And that's why I believe, again, just because God knows the future doesn't mean that we do not have the right to make the choices that we make. Did Jesus know that Judas would betray him when he picked him to be one of his disciples? The answer is yes. He knew that he would do that. Now, people have often asked the question, why would Jesus pick somebody like that that would do that? First of all, it was part of God's grander plan, if you will. But I really believe a lot of it has to do with that God, knowing Judas would betray him, still chose him. There's a lot of people today say, oh, well, God would never choose me. I'm too much of a loser. Really? Well, God chose Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, and even God would have forgiven Judas if he would have asked for it, but he didn't. So I really believe that God knows the events in the future, and I do believe God does move circumstances around to accomplish his will.
Yeah.
But I also believe that because God knows the end from the beginning, we often think that these are events that that God manipulates or we manipulate, when really, actually, it's all as a book that's been read. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Hey, Edward, great to have you on the show, a fan of the show. And, you know, this is a tough question where you have two things at play. One is God's sovereignty, which God has absolute power and authority over all creation. But then at the same time, we see man's free will, that humans have the ability to make real choices that have real consequences, that we're not robots. And I think you really see this played out in the Garden of Eden as God makes this earth beautiful for man to live and exist in. His plan and his heart was not for man to sin and fall, but was for man to live in unison with him forever in this garden. But we see he places the tree in the garden and gives them the option to eat from it or not to eat from it, letting them know they shouldn't, which gave mankind free will. And we know the story, of course, Adam and Eve eat the fruit that they weren't supposed to. God already knew the choice they would make, because the Bible lets us know that before the foundations of the world, Christ was crucified. So here's an interesting thing we see in the scripture. God gives Adam free will, but he already had a plan of redemption in store. That's where you see the sovereignty of God, him already having a plan, but also you see that he gave Adam the choice to choose right and wrong. And so I believe that God gives us free choice, and whatever we choose in life, he already has a plan set up for that. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And we do see God's intervention as an example in the Bible, where God said, who shall I send? And we find, send me.
Yeah.
We understand that God does have that part of it. And so it's a very interesting blend. Now, remember, this world was given into the hands of Satan. Satan even said that to Jesus in Luke chapter 4. He said, all the kingdoms of the world are mine, and mine to whomever I want to give them to, if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't respond and say, oh, wait a minute. No, they're not. No, he didn't. They got him, and he got these kingdoms of the world in a deal in the garden. But Jesus came, died on the cross to redeem man, to redeem men's governments, eventually unto the place where Jesus will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. So in a couple of things, we have to understand this very, very important, because otherwise the world would just be, in many people's mind, just running helter-skelter. But no, it's all part of God's plan. That's why we have the book of Revelation. What kind of accuracy do you have knowing that the Bible says that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel again? It'll be a sign of the last days right there. And especially when it was completely destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, when Titus came in, the Roman general, and burned it with fire and tore the city down. It laid for almost 2 millennia in just a wasted state. And yet we find exactly what God's word says. So, because God knows the choices that man will make, because he knows the choices he will make, I believe that, again, yes, God does come into the affairs of men. But God, it doesn't take God by surprise. It may take us by surprise, but it doesn't take God by surprise. So, Edward, I hope that helps.
Yeah, sure. Basically, the explanation out there. Thank you so much. I bless.
Yes.
Edward, stay in line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Great to share with your friends. Great for evangelism. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We have Tim on the line, Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, welcome.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How may we help?
Long-time listener, second-time caller. I didn't get through the first time. But my question, I guess you kind of answered it with the last caller there. But my question is, I love the Lord with my whole heart. I'm an avid Christian, meaning I am, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection, the death, and the birth. But my question is, I do sometimes partake in, let's say, using a marijuana gummy or, let's say, a magic mushroom from time to time. So my other part of the question was going to be, am I going to go to hell? Am I going to go to heaven? And if I were to die in that sin, but you kind of answered that question with the last caller. But my other question to that is, what's your view on that, on somebody that does that, who claims to be a Christian? Am I completely wrong? Should I stop it completely? What are your thoughts on that? And then I just have a prayer request after you answer the question, if that's possible.
Okay, yes. Let me ask you a question. Why are you doing it?
Let me take you off speaker real quick. One sec. Okay, what was the question?
Why are you doing the marijuana gummies and the mushrooms or whatever?
I believe that it feels good. I mean, it's fleshly, purely. I mean, I enjoy it. Kind of like I chew nicotine gum. I have for years, but I enjoy chewing nicotine gum versus smoking, but I just enjoy the feeling that I get from, eating the gummies. I enjoy it.
Okay. The buzz aspect, Joe, I'm going to let you answer this because, you raised, as a preacher's kid, got away from the Lord, got into the, good feelings. That the world offers. Your thoughts?
Yeah. So, it's good. The reason too why Pastor Mike asked that is because it's one thing if someone has a medical condition and they're taking, you know, some type of drug that helps with the medical condition. We see this in the Bible where the Apostle Paul tells Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach. But it's different when we're doing it, and I'm glad you'll admit that, Rex, that you're doing it for, or sorry, Tim, that you're doing it for the feeling of it. You know, the thing that was the hardest for me to stop, I come from a lifestyle of alcohol and drugs and all kinds of drugs, but giving up marijuana was the hardest one for me to quit. And I had all kinds of arguments in my mind that it was natural, that it was good if it made me feel good. But the Bible does call us to be sober-minded. It says this in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded and be watchful. And also, God doesn't want us to escape reality. He wants to transform us through reality. And so there are times in life where life can be hard and uncomfortable, and so we'll use a substance to kind of numb that and hide that, when really the Holy Spirit can bring peace to us in those difficulties and in those hard times. And then just another idea too is that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm preaching to myself here too right now, Tim, because I don't always eat the best things, but I try to put the right things in my body. This includes my body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. It includes my mind, my lungs, and my decisions. And so really my heart in abstaining from things is not to do it out of legalism, but rather my heart is as an act of worship, Lord, I want to surrender these things over to you. And God, it's hard. And here's the thing, Tim, the main thing is if you're trying to fight and overcome that, God sees that and God's pleased with that. And what's so awesome is that God can even give you strength to overcome these things. It's when we just accept them and say, this is how it's always going to be, this is how I always am, that we actually limit the work that God can do in our life. It's through surrender from a heart of gratitude for God's goodness that we see transformation in our life. So with that, I'll hand it back to you, Pastor Mike, if I missed anything there.
No, and I believe that whatever we give to God, you know, the Bible talks about sin for a season. There's fun in sin for a season. And then there's the price to pay. And, you know, exactly, Tim, I don't know what that price would be, whether it be getting arrested, whether it would be, you know, something. I don't know. But I just know that God's word's true. And there's a lot of things that feel good, but that doesn't make it justifiable to say, okay, we can do that. I don't think you're not a Christian because of that. You wouldn't right. have called today if it wasn't something that the Holy Spirit is wrestling in your heart over. But I would just say that, you know, like in all things, we give all of our life to Christ, our urges and our feelings and our hopes and dreams and aspirations and our talents and our abilities, our resources, all that becomes God's. And so when I realize that, there's nothing that I give up for God that God will not in turn reward me for. Now, maybe not in this earth, but in the world to come, there's a reward for those who diligently seek him. And there's always a way. It is interesting to me that when Jesus was on the cross and he said, I thirst. And so they offered to Jesus sour wine. Now, wine that had gone bad, they would give it to the criminals. The alcohol would, the idea there would be that if you got enough of it, it would help numb the pain of the excruciating pain of being crucified. And Jesus refused it. And I think that is interesting to me that there was maybe a little relief that he could have experienced, and he turned it away. I think there's a lot of times the devil comes and offers us a type of relief. When Jesus, again, going back to Luke chapter 4, where he was being tempted for 40 days by the devil as he was fasting, the devil said, if you're God's son, command this stone to be made bread. Well, he could have turned the whole mountain into bread if he wanted to.
Yeah.
But that would have felt really good to eat something after you'd fasted for all that length of time. But he didn't do it. So I have to look that all things are lawful. And I think this is, Tim, where maybe this may help you the most. All things are lawful, Paul says, but not all things are the best for us. And so I think that is what you have to look at. Is this a sin that will send me to hell? I don't believe so. But is it the best for you? Does it hurt your testimony? Does it make you vulnerable to an arrest? Does it cause other issues that would come up even though you don't think about those? And so I always think it's best to live our lives outside of question marks. Tim, I hope that helps.
It does, guys. So kind of like dying to oneself every single day. So I understand that, and I really appreciate that, guys. My prayer request is, my friend Joel Kane is out of work now. He's going through some major health issues, and I had a great talk with him today to try and encourage him. But if you guys can please put it out there to pray for Joel Kane's full recovery, I would really appreciate it.
We'll pray right now. Father, we pray for Joel. Just ask you to reach out to him. Bring about the recovery he needs in his life. All the things that are lacking, you are the one who puts into our life. And so, God who heals, God who restores, would you please reach your hand to this man and bless him, restore him, God, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lord, may you give Tim the right words to say to him as well. Tim, man, thanks so much for the call. Glad you listened, and we're here for you anytime. Stay in line. I'll send you out some books and some DVDs that'll encourage you and your friends. And everyone, we are coming up on a break. We don't want anyone to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer right after this. We'll be right back.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer for women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug, or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
How about this? Some actual good news on the healthcare front, even as costs just keep skyrocketing. So if you're 65 or older, MediShare now offers MediShare 65 Plus. Call them. You can talk to them about this. A lot of people are taking advantage of this now, because even if you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are out-of-pocket things, deductibles and copays that just keep going up. And the whole point is to help you by giving you a low, consistent monthly payment that fills in the gaps. In fact, I can tell you how much MediShare 65 Plus is. For example, it's $99 a month up to age 75. It keeps costs under control. That helps with peace of mind. MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around for 30 years, and it's a community of people who help each other. Business owners, retirees, pastors, teachers. People love being part of it. Here's the number you can call now. They are easy to talk to. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
We want to welcome you back to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer with Joe Jackson, pastor of Sure Foundation Church in Kiao, Hawaii. I'm your host, Mike Kessler, and we're going to go right back to the phones. Again, that number to call if you want to be part of the program today, 8888-ASK-CSN. We're going to go to Rex in Anderson, California. Hi and welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Rex. Anyway, here's my question. A friend of mine She died a while ago. She's been a right-on Christian. Her husband is an atheist. In all of the years that I fished with Mike, because she asked me to fish with Mike, she said, don't talk to Mike about Jesus. And just before she died, she asked me to say, doors open, start asking. So I went fishing with Mike a couple of times after Linda died. And I said, do you want to hear my testimony? I gave him my testimony. And I said, are you interested? And again, Mike is an atheist. And he said, I'm going to ask, if you can answer this question, I'll consider what you're talking to me about. And the question was this: why would I want to be in heaven when all of the people that I grew up with, that influenced me, that had been around me all my life and helped me be the man that I am? And Mike is a very, very good man. I enjoy fishing with him, and I enjoy his company. But he said, why would I want to be in heaven when all of the people that I know and that I loved and I grew up with are in heaven? Why would I want to be there?
If they were in hell. Well, that's a, you know, that's kind of a very strange remark, because first of all, what's wrong? And this is what I would tell him, as I say, first of all, you have a misconception of what hell is. Hell is not the alternative to heaven. Hell is a place of eternal torment and fire. The Bible tells us that it's a place that never ends. Now, these different religions out there that say, heaven is great, but hell is annihilation. That is not found in the Bible. If you read the book of Jude, it says they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire forever. So that's important to understand. Verse 7. So when we look at this, then he's got a bad concept of what that is. And to be eternally punished. Now, just because many of his friends were foolish and will die in their sins doesn't mean that he needs to be foolish and die in his. So really, I think you have to begin to go back now with him and define what heaven is, define what hell is. Not Hollywood's version of heaven, not Hollywood's version of hell, but what the Bible says. Eternal separation, black heat is what it sounds like. I would say, you know, it's interesting. The Bible says that outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and fire and all this kinds of stuff, you're not going to recognize any of your friends anyway. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah. You know what? One thing that's hard too, Rex, with your friend, is that one, he doesn't know where the people he was around as a kid, where they went. You know, they may have on their deathbed had a chance to repent and make things right with Jesus and went to heaven. So one, there's a risk there that he's taking, that maybe they are in heaven and maybe they aren't. And also, it sounds like his wife had a relationship with Christ. Is that correct?
Very strong relationship, yes.
So even there's that, the idea that his wife would be in God's presence and that he would miss that. And then ultimately, you know, the idea of heaven isn't so much about a reunion with all the people who've gone before us, although that's going to happen. But really what makes heaven great is God's presence. The presence of God and us enjoying his presence is what makes heaven so wonderful. And, you know, it's just kind of an interesting response to me, Rex, from an atheist to say, you know, I would respond and believe in what you said if all my friends didn't go to this place before me. Because that doesn't sound like an atheist. It sounds like he wants to believe, but possibly he can be either angry at God, or maybe he was hurt by someone in the church. And so it sounds maybe like you hit something there with him, Rex. And, you know, sometimes the first conversation we have with someone, we just plant that seed. And as they walk away, the Holy Spirit will begin to work on their heart and move in their life. And so, you know, you never have an idea of the next time you share with your friend that he might be ready at that moment to respond. And so I would encourage you to keep looking for ways that you can share with them, and even giving them that response. You don't know where the people before you have gone. You don't know where your wife is, and you don't want to risk all eternity when you're not sure. I hope that helps.
Yeah. And that is a good point to bring up as well. Where his wife is, who is a believer. But it is so true. You don't know the decisions that your friends made later on in life to determine where they are now. And if everybody's going to jump off the bridge and into the fire, does that mean you should? So I think the argument is fatally flawed in several reasons. Number one, the idea that, well, hell is just the alternative to heaven. No, hell is eternal punishment. It's not like, well, you know, there's this kind of really good place to go, and then there's kind of the other place that's just not quite as good. No, it's eternal torment. And I believe this is something that he has to understand. Again, just as you said, Joe, there's no guarantee where his friends went. And if there is a God, and I would ask him this, what do you think God would require of you? See, this is, I think, a lot of times asking questions. Jesus did this a lot. Not because he didn't know, because they didn't know. They're walking along the road. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're Elias, and some say you're John the Baptist, come back to life. But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, sometimes Peter didn't get it right, but he got it right that time. Thou art the Christ, the only Son of God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. See, I think it's good to ask people questions because they have preconceived ideas formed by many outside circumstances that aren't necessarily godly. Like, what is hell? What is heaven? Somebody say that to me. I say, well, have you ever thought that Jesus gave up all of heaven to be born in a dirty manger, to live a sinless life, to die a brutal death on the cross, to keep us out of hell? What kind of a place is this place that God would be concerned about redeeming us from this terrible, terrible place? And I believe this has a lot to do with people's perceptions. Well, heaven, you know, I'm down there with all my friends, you know, down there partying on, you know, little Ozzy on the side. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. You're not going to recognize anybody with their faces burnt off. So I think this is, Rex, a way to go. And listen, we're here for you. You just call us with his what he may say if you don't know the answer, because we're here to help you, okay?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes.
Stay online. I'll send you out a couple books, a couple DVDs. Maybe you can get the little book, Time to Grow, into his hands. Because what it is just Bible verses that answer questions that people have, very similar to what we do here on To Every Man an Answer, but it's in a book form where you can just give it to somebody and it answers a lot of questions. And even there's a place in there where how you become born again. So I'll get those to you. And like I say, prayerfully, you get those into his hands. Okay, Rex?
I will. And thank you, gentlemen.
Yes.
God bless you. May the Lord just give you, Rex, words to speak, not to his head, but to his heart. In Jesus' name. Rex, keep going. We'll get these out to you. Let's go to Michelle, South Dakota. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Mike, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi. I just have a couple of prayer requests. The first one is the most important. It's about my son. He was raised by me and around other Christian people. His dad wasn't, but we always went to church and we were involved in things. When he got to middle school, he started getting anxious and didn't want to go to youth group. So I let him slide and not go. And now I feel, you know, it's part of my fault, but he now doesn't seem very God-fearing. He's got different views. He believes in God, but he doesn't seem to want to submit, or, you know what I mean? Just, I just sure. get concerned.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Is there something in his life, maybe his father, maybe friends, maybe a girlfriend, influencing a lot of his thoughts right now?
No, I think it's more like, you know, we lived out in the country for a while, and he really didn't have friends close by, so he got on the internet, and now I feel like his views were kind of brought about by things he was looking at. He doesn't, you know, when I talk to him about Jesus and the Bible, you know, he says, oh, yeah, I know. But he seems
How old
like
is he?
He doesn't want to look. He's 27. Okay. He doesn't seem to want to let go. Like he, I don't know if the word pride, like it's, he just doesn't want to humble himself, basically. So I've been praying.
Joe, it sounds a little bit like your story. What would you tell Michelle?
Yeah, so it is a lot like my story. Michelle grew up in the church, grew up in a pastor's home. I knew the Bible, but I went wayward for different reasons and was stubborn, as the church people and my parents were loving on me. And you know what's funny? I don't understand what the deal is with this, but for whatever reason, when us parents talk to our kids, they don't listen. I don't know what the deal is. And then someone will say the exact same thing that we did to them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, that makes sense. And it's like, what? I've been telling you that for the last 5 years. But, you know, sometimes it's praying that God will send harvesters to your son, that you may not be the one that's able to communicate with him, because like you're saying, whether it's pride or he just knows better. But that's one thing we can pray for today, is that God would send the right people. And then number two, it's not giving up on him, but sometimes instead of telling him the truth, it could be showing him the truth, showing him the love of Jesus, showing him the difference that Christ has made in your life. Even how you kind of mentioned when he was younger, he had anxiety. And, you know, that's a thing a lot of people deal with. But when they see that we have peace, it does make them curious. And so it's just demonstrating those things as well. But with that, were there other things you wanted to bring up about him or that we can pray for?
Well, I just want him, to meet somebody or somebody reach out, or he just gets a revelation someday. And so I get very concerned, you know, when we talk about the rapture and stuff. That's like one of the most, well, actually the most important thing is that my children go to heaven. So it just gets me very concerned. I haven't been perfect. I went through a phase where work was more important than anything. And so I kind of feel like I had an influence on it. So I feel I'm trying really hard to go back to how I was raised and try not to get angry and that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned too that he's on the internet a lot, probably on YouTube. But I know for young men, 27, that Joe Rogan is like a hero to a lot of them. And so one suggestion I would give is, recently, this is actually a few months ago, Joe Rogan had this Bible scholar on his program named Wes Huff. And I don't know, maybe you even share that podcast with your son, because in that podcast, he answers a lot of things. And actually, through that podcast, a lot are saying that Joe Rogan might have actually got saved. They're starting to see him in church and stuff because he made this guy's friend. And so that might actually have an influence on your son. You know, it's funny how YouTube and these different videos and podcasts are really shaping people's minds now. But if they listen and watch the right things, it can have a positive effect on them. And so maybe you even do that. Find that JRE episode with Wes Huff. Share it with your son. And maybe that's even a step.
So I hope that helps, Michelle, because, yeah, we just need to pray that he gets around some good people. Is he married?
No. He's had anxiety since he was a teenager. And I thought it was just teenage years, but it's still going on. So Yeah. I don't know if...
Anxiety is caused by an uneasiness in the soul. I believe that, again, Jesus said he gives peace to those that he loves. And I would just really encourage him to let God take away that anxiety, because being angst all the time is not a way to live, because you're always worried, and your sleep patterns are also horribly troubled by that. So no, I believe that Jesus is the answer for him. And yes, we will be glad to pray for him. Michelle, you said you had another prayer request.
Okay. So my mother-in-law passed away a few months ago, and in her will, she, kind of favored my husband because he's always been here. His brother now is, you know, we have to go to court and all this stuff because he's upset about it. And I'm trying very hard to not be angry because they're telling a lot of untruths about us. Mm-hmm. And so I'm struggling with, like, I know, like, God, fight my battle, you know, but it's very upsetting. I'm trying not to be angry because I'm trying to change my ways, but it hurts my husband. It hurts me to see him hurt. And I just wish that they would either, they say they also are they're Christians. So I just want them to, you know, start telling the truth or maybe be changed so they're not mean like this or something.
Well, you deal when in-laws become outlaws, that's always a difficult time of life. But the will was written the way she wanted it written, and it should stand. There was no tampering with that. It was simply that she realized that there were better ways to distribute her life's accumulations. And so people throwing a fit like that, you know, in the book of James, it says, "Where do wars and fightings come from among you?" And it's because of greed. It's because of lust. And so I would have to say that probably the root cause of this is, yeah, we want and we want more. So our prayers are with you, Michelle. Let's pray. Father, we lift up her son, that you would put around him, Lord, people that love you, that would turn his heart back towards you. Lord, we pray for his anxiety, that you would meet that need. And Lord, we pray for this family situation, God, that you would be the one that brings the peace into this situation. And so, Father, may you just give Michelle the right words, the right heart. Lord, protect peoples from their angers and things like this, that peace can come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Michelle, our prayers are with you, dear. If you need us, we're here for you, okay?
I appreciate it. Okay. Thank you.
Michelle, stay online. I'll send you out some books and DVDs, and perhaps you can get Time to Grow into your son's hands, as well as a couple of DVDs. They're really good, really explains a lot. God of Wonders will do him a lot of good if he'll watch it. Stay in line. I'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Jesus, Odessa, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I just had a quick question. It might sound a little silly, but you know how the Bible says something about God wanting people to come to him with weeping and repentance? I'm not exactly sure where that is. I'm not good at recalling Bible verses and stuff, but I know it's in there. And then my question is about Judas. You know how he had a lot of remorse and he gave back the silver and he killed himself out of that remorse? And, you know, my question is, do you think he repented enough to be able to be forgiven by God and perhaps be in heaven?
No, because Jesus said it would have been better for him never to have been born.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty strong statement there. There's a difference between remorse and repentance.
Yeah.
Peter had remorse and repentance. But just to be sorry, you can go to any prison in America. You'll find almost every inmate in there has remorse. But there's a difference between that and repentance. Now, of course, the court system is hoping the remorse will turn into repentance, but it doesn't always do that. I believe God would have forgiven Judas had he asked. but because he didn't ask, showed that there was a disconnect between him and God. Here he was in the very presence of Jesus, watching the miracles daily, watching people's lives being transformed, waving people into the kingdom of heaven, but he himself was not going. What a tragedy. Yeah. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I just think that that's a great comparison of Judas and Peter, that Judas didn't need to die in despair, that Peter also denied Jesus, but Peter repented and was restored. And the difference wasn't how bad the sin was, it was how they responded to their failure. Peter ran to Jesus, Judas ran from Jesus. And I always imagine if Judas would have ran to the cross instead of to the noose, would Jesus have forgiven him? And I think absolutely he would have.
Absolutely.
That the heart of that's the heart of the gospel. But Judas chose despair over mercy. And so again, there's a difference between remorse and repentance. It's one thing to feel sorry if we get caught or feel sorry because there's consequences for what we did. It's another thing to feel sorry because, God, I offended you. I think about David as he's corrected in the Old Testament. His issue wasn't that I offended anyone else. He says, Lord, I've offended you. And I believe that's what true repentance is, that we run to Jesus to make things right with him. And so I hope that helps you out, Jesus.
Yeah, the Bible tells us that, as an example, that Satan entered Judas. This is found in Luke 22:3 and also in John 13:27. But Satan entered him he said, what you do, do quickly. And yeah. And it is interesting that that Jesus didn't take Jesus by surprise. See, this is what, I've had people say, oh, if Jesus would have just got up and ran out of the building right then, he wouldn't have got caught. No. In fact, if you knew that in a few hours someone was going to come and arrest you and drive spikes through your hands and through your feet and humiliate you with the most excruciating death ever known, your temptation would be to run, and Jesus didn't leave.
Right.
He deliberately chose to die for our sins.
Yes.
And so as I look at this, I have to realize that what Judas did, he could have been forgiven for, but he was remorseful, but he was not repented.
Right.
And there's a difference in those two. I hope that helps, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, definitely helps. Thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you so much for the call. Stay in line, send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs. We're going to go to Cindy, Kentucky. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I was afraid of that. I started to feed my cat while I was waiting.
Yeah.
Kitty, you'll just have to wait. What I wanted to say was everybody knows from the vaccine what the drug companies are trying to do to us. And a little bit about my story was I got sick almost 20 years ago now. Well, my husband passed away. Let me start there. Over 30 years ago. And I went into a deep depression. So I had an excellent doctor, and I went to him, and he gave me an antidepressant, and it worked immediately, and I felt great, and that was where it all went wrong, because after I left him, I went to Florida, and I got put on one prescription after the other until it destroyed my microbiome and caused a fungal infection to sit up in my intestinal tract, which is pretty brutal. It fungi feeds off of everything. Every leaf that falls off a tree, it's usually fungus.
Cindy, very quickly, really quickly, we've only got less than 45 seconds. So did you have a question?
Right. Okay, what I want to say is if you go do a search on cannabis, and you will see all the benefits of cannabis.
Okay, Joe, real quickly, there are benefits, but there's also a dark side. Tell us about it real quick.
So it's one thing if someone's using it for medical purposes and it's been prescribed, but we do know that cannabis does kill brain cells and that it doesn't strengthen your lungs. And so those are just two negative things I can think from cannabis. And also just, again, if someone's relying on that rather than the Lord for anxiety or depression, I believe that God can bring healing in those areas outside of cannabis.
So those are things that we got to think about. And with that, Cindy, we're all out of time. Tina, and please call us back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Joe, thank you so much for being on. Stay in line, dear. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll really enjoy. So until then, may the Lord just remind you of his great love for you. And keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. So until then, God keep you in his love.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.